Thank you, Ryan and team, for leading us in our worship and praise this morning. You sound good, and from up here I'm looking at you. You look good, too, and you're going to look better. If you know Jesus, you're going to get a glorified body one of these days. Won't that be wonderful? Now, these days, every morning when I get up, I have to prepare the body for viewing. But the Lord's going to prepare those bodies and give us glorified bodies one of these days. Ryan, thank you for identifying this young couple in the back there who are celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. Can you imagine that? You folks have now been married 120 years. 60 for Sid and 60 for Joan. Did you realize that very few couples hit that mark? But I saw their picture in the paper yesterday, and I gave them a phone call to say, you look good in paper as well. And do you realize that a church doesn't often have that privilege of celebrating a 60th wedding anniversary for a couple? But today, we actually can celebrate with two couples. Did you realize that another young couple over here, by the name of Norm and Laura Davidson, are also marking this week their 60th wedding anniversary? So happy anniversary to you as well. In fact, these two couples, the Davidsons and the Sutherlands, were married on the very same day, this week, 4 days from now, on June the 28th. So congratulations. It makes me feel like wanting to sing, doesn't it? Happy anniversary. So let's do that and sing happy anniversary. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you. Let's sing. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you. And if you were to ask, yeah, go ahead. Now, if you were to ask either of these couples the reason for the longevity of their marriage, they would give the glory to Jesus, the shepherd of his sheep. They are his sheep. They were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And years ago, they opened their hearts to Christ, and their homes and their marriage are established in Christ. And Jesus has been their shepherd all these years. And I've got good news. He's going to continue to be your shepherd all the way to glory. And that goes for everybody here this morning who loves the Lord Jesus. Now, thinking of him as our shepherd, did you notice we were singing a number of songs of Christ as our shepherd, Savior like a shepherd, lead us. I'd like for you to take your hymn books and turn to number 695. We're not going to sing, but we're going to read, and I'm going to get a hymn book as well, so that we can all read together. I think you keep that. You're going to need that, and I'll take this one here. And way in the back, you'll find the words to Psalm 23. Now, you also have it in your Bibles. It may be that we have some different translations here. So I'd like for us all to read it together in the same translation. This is the good old King James Version right here. And did you find number 695, which says Psalm 23? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be a speaking choir now? There are only six little verses to this amazing psalm. Did you realize there is no other passage of Scripture or of secular literature that has had more profound impact on the world than this psalm? This psalm has been the inspiration for more songs and poetry than any other item in all of human history. This is so significant, written by the psalmist and the shepherd boy, David. Can't you just imagine him out there in the fields caring for those sheep? And as he's looking at those sheep, he says, I'm their shepherd, but I've got an even better shepherd than that. God, the Lord is my shepherd. And I hope you can say that yourself. The Lord, would you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, doesn't that make you feel good just to know that? Now, I'd like for you to stand with me as we read this passage together. These holy words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say that word forever again. Forever. You're living in a world that changes every day, but your relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be, say it, forever. Amen? Please be seated. I want you to think with me today about when God refreshes his people. And Psalm 23 tells us how God can refresh his people. I want you to notice that the next slide will tell us something interesting here. That I've already mentioned, Psalm 23 is the best love poem of all biblical and extra-biblical literature. Not only that, as you know, it was written by a shepherd, King David, and it beautifully describes who Jesus is, our wonderful Savior and Shepherd. And it has been put into music more times than any other scripture passage. Did you know that back in 1872, how many of you remember 1872? Oh, the one of us here, okay. But in Scotland, there was a dear young lady by the name of Jessie S. Irving who set these words from Psalm, well, that had been made into a poem and found in the Scottish Psalter that had been written way back in 1650, and she set it to a tune called Crimond. And I didn't know what Crimond meant until a while ago. I was ministering in Scotland, and Adrian and I were driving along the northeast shores of Scotland, and we came to a town called Crimond. And then I discovered, as I pulled up to the lovely old church there, there was a sign that said that this daughter, Jessie Irving, the daughter of the pastor of that church way back in 1872, she was the one who wrote this beautiful music. And it's been sung all over the world ever since. Now, without turning to your hymn book, I'd just like you to see the next slide. And here are some of the stanzas. What they've done here is to take Psalm 23 and set it in poetic form to music. And as I begin to sing now, I want you to sing along with me. You'll hear the melody and you'll probably say, oh, I've heard that before. It's called Crimond because of that town in Scotland where it was written. But here's how it goes, and you sing along with me. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My furnished in presence of my foes, my head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Now, doesn't that refresh your soul, just singing those glorious words? And I want you to think about God refreshing you. Here we are. If you, by the way, I'd like you in your bulletin to find a little robin blue color sheet, I think that is, and you can take some notes if you'd like, because there are 10 different things I want you to think about this morning about how through this psalm God wants to renew you and refresh you. As you realize, here we are in the first day of summer, aren't we? First Sunday of summer. It just started about three or four days ago. And my desire for you this summer is to be refreshed both physically and spiritually. Now, some people take summer just to get away from everything, and as a result, they even get away from God. That would be sad. My desire for you would be that you get even closer to the Lord during this summer. Would you kind of focus on that and say, "Dear Lord, I just want to get closer to the shepherd this summer." And I'd like you then to begin thinking during this week of how can you so structure these weeks of this summer to be getting real close to Jesus. For instance, if you go away on a vacation, may I encourage you to find a church that preaches the gospel someplace where you're going to be. And I'd like for you, when you come back, bring a bulletin with you. Would you do that? Bring a bulletin with you and show it to me. I want to have proof that you have not left the flock. Find part of God's flock wherever you go. That's so important. And you'll be blessed. And by the way, give an offering where you go too. Now keep your tithe here, but just as an overflow of the love that you have for the Lord, and thanking God that though God is blessing Temple in so many wonderful ways, we're not the only church on the block. We're not the only church in the neighborhood. In fact, maybe you noticed my dear wife Adrienne is not sitting with us here this morning. I must give you a reason why she's not, and she's going to bring me a bulletin. But she's not far away from us. She's just down the street at Heritage, where Harvest Bible Chapel is meeting. You know why she's there? During these past number of weeks, I told you about a dear lady who's the mother of my daughter-in-law, who went home to glory just a few weeks ago after weeks of being in Freeport Hospital, and she died of cancer. in that room with her is a young lady in her mid-40s. Her name is Kathleen. And as we met her and other Christians met her, and through the life of this dear mother of my daughter-in-law, Kathleen opened her heart to Jesus. And then the daughter of my daughter-in-law's mother, her sister, who lives here, she has taken her to Harvest, and she opened her heart to Christ. That girl opened her heart to Jesus. And though this week we almost thought we were going to lose her, the cancer, she's dying, but she loves Jesus. And right now, as I'm speaking, she is being baptized in that place. And that's where Adrian is to give witness to this young woman that she's been discipling during these past weeks. But wherever you go this summer, just have a sense of God's got his people here and there, scattered like salt all over the world, and connect with God's people wherever you go. And may it be a time of refreshment physically and spiritually, a time to draw closer to God. And Psalm 23 can be one of the tools that God uses. If you will meditate, what I'd like you to think about this morning is I'm introducing Psalm 23 afresh to you, but I'd like you to live in Psalm 23 all this summer. Now, a number of you could quote Psalm 23 without peeking, couldn't you? I'm glad I grew up in a home where my mom and dad taught me Scripture. And when I was just a little boy, 2.5 years old, I was able to stand in front of my mother and quote all of Psalm 23, those 6 verses. So I'm sure that anybody here, no matter what your age is, you could memorize. May I encourage you, if you haven't done it already, to memorize Psalm 23 this summer. Would you make that a goal? Every head bowed. How many will do that? Oh, okay. That's my encouragement to you. And as you do that, say, Lord, refresh my heart. I want you to refresh me through this amazing psalm. Now, I want you to see this next slide here. I took this picture over, you know, I was just last month over in Israel. And this is a picture that I took at Nazareth Village. In the city of Nazareth, where Jesus was raised, is a place that they've made to be just like the days when Jesus was there. And here's a shepherd with sheep. Here's another picture that I didn't take in Israel. I took this in Scotland. And don't you like sheep? So innocent, it's very interesting to me that God likens people to sheep. Maybe because sheep seem to be so dumb. And sheep can get lost easily. And all of us are lost until we come to the shepherd. In fact, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What a sad story. But the Lord has laid the iniquity of us on his shoulders, on Jesus. He bore it all. He paid the price. Our good shepherd did that. Well, I want you to go a little further with me. Let's take this next slide as you see this. Jesus, our shepherd, I want you to see 10 things that he gives us. Here's the first one, and if you've got a pen or a pencil, you can write those blanks in. I want you to catch this. The first thing we see, Jesus, our shepherd, gives us a renewed relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's so easy for us, even as Christians, to wander. How sad it is when God's people begin to wander. But I hope that this summer will be a time when you just seek to come back close to the shepherd and have a renewed relationship with him, the shepherd to the sheep. Jesus said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. God is so interested in you. He wants His best for you, and you will experience that best unless you run away from Him. And my encouragement to you is to run to Him, run fresh back to Him. Really, what I'm talking about here is spiritual revival, refreshing the saints. And I would just encourage you to make sure that you talk every day, not just once a day, but all through the day to your shepherd, your heavenly shepherd. You know, the Bible talks about our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, in three different beautiful ways. First of all, He is the good shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. He paid the price. That happened in the past in Calvary. Did you know that right now that good shepherd is doing something else? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, we read about Him as the great shepherd who is right now in heaven interceding for us, praying for us, and so concerned for every one of us and able to help us in our time of need. He's the great shepherd today. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we read this, that He's going to be the chief shepherd. When He, the chief shepherd, shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Isn't that wonderful? So He is the good shepherd of the past when He died for us. He is the great shepherd right now interceding for us. He is the chief shepherd who's going to come again, and we're going to be with Him forever. Is anybody getting excited here? If that doesn't fizz on you, you are asleep, at least spiritually, if not physically. Wake up. He's wonderful. Jesus, our good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd. Get close to Him this summer. You will be refreshed. Not only that, Jesus, our shepherd, gives us a renewed restfulness. And you see that in verse 2, don't you? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Lie down. That sounds good, doesn't it? Anybody tired? Well, if you are, we've got a couple benches in the front here that nobody said. You can just stretch right out there and enjoy the rest of the message. But in verse 2, He says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Some of you have read the wonderful book written by Philip Keller on a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. And Philip Keller, now with the Lord, but he for many years was a shepherd himself, and he knew sheep very, very well. And one of the things that he realized and he tells about in his book is this: a sheep will not lie down unless four things are fulfilled. You might like to note these things. First of all, free from fear. If a sheep feels any fear, that sheep is going to, he won't lie down. Another thing to be free from hunger. If that sheep is hungry, it won't lie down. Another thing is free from pests. And sometimes little bugs get in their ears or things like that, and trouble them, and they won't lie down if there are pests bothering them. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the shepherd, as we'll note later, anoints the sheep with oil to take care of those pesty things, because a good shepherd takes care of his sheep and makes sure that that sheep is not being bothered by pests. And there's another thing. A sheep will not lie down unless it's free from fear, from hunger, from pests, and also from friction that is between other sheep. Maybe you've watched sheep. Maybe on occasion you'll see they get a little rankly with each other. Of course, that never happens in a church, does it? The sheep always are enjoying each other. Well, I hope so. God wants it to be that way, and that's one of the ministries of the shepherd, to bring a sense of peace and tranquility and camaraderie among the flock. But if there's a sense of friction, And that can sometimes happen in a congregation, and people just are on the edge. They're not restful. Now, as it's been my privilege during these past several months to walk with this flock as an under-shepherd under Jesus, I've had this wonderful sense, both Adrian and I, that there is not friction here. Are you glad for that? There's a sense of oneness in Christ. I love that. And that's the peace of the Lord that He gives as we get close to the shepherd. And He takes care of these things of fear because He protects us. That's why His rod and His staff comfort me, as it'll say a little later, because lions or bears, you remember that David, when he was a shepherd, he told about how one time he killed a lion, another time he killed a bear, and there are wolves and all other kinds of enemies external, but there are also potential enemies internal. And when the shepherd is allowed to get close to his sheep, when we get close to the shepherd, he takes care of all of those things of fear and hunger and pests and friction. There's a third thing I'd like you to see, and it's this. The Lord Jesus, our shepherd, gives us a renewed soul. You see that in verse 3? He restores my soul. All of us are given by God appetites. And one of our big appetites is food. It's interesting that animals, because they have an appetite for food, that's how you can maybe get a horse to follow you. Just hold that carrot out in front of him and he'll come your way. But God has given us not only physical appetites for food, He's given to us an appetite for something to fill the inner person, the soul, the real you. As we said some time ago, and I'll say it again, and it was C.S. Lewis who said this, so I'm quoting him. He said, "You do not have a soul." Oh. I'll say it again. You do not have a soul. You are a soul. And you have a body. Get it? Now, the real you, your soul, it's like a great big empty space here. And the world tries to fill it with all kinds of stuff, which really turns out to be junk. But there is a God-sized space in you that only God can fill. Don't try to fill it with anything else. Let your soul be renewed with the presence of God Himself. He renews my soul. I hope your soul will be renewed this summer, refreshed. Another thing I want you to see, number 4. Jesus, our shepherd, gives us a renewed walk. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. All of us are on a journey. Now, your journey may just be a rocking chair, but you don't get very far. It gives you something to do, but you don't go anyplace. But time is a non-renewable resource. Tomorrow, you will not be able to live June 24. That's today. And every one of us is moving 24 hours a day into the future. And we're every one of us on a journey, a one-way street towards eternity. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, it's eternal life with Christ forever. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, it's an eternal destiny in a place called, it's a four-letter word. May I say this four-letter word? Hell. Do you realize that? Hell is as real as heaven. And every one of us is on this journey one way or the other. And my encouragement to you is get close to the shepherd and he will lead you heavenward. And that's what it says here. He leads me in paths of righteousness. There are all kinds of paths in Cambridge and area that are leading in the opposite direction. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 7. He talked about two doors and two roads. He said there's a wide gate and a wide and a broad way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat, he said. But there's another road. It's a narrow gate, and it's a narrow way that leads to life. Sadly, few there be who find it. Have you found it? Are you on it? Did you know that if you aren't yet, you can be beginning this morning? God allows U-turns. And you can make an about face and say, Lord, I've been going the wrong direction. I want to go the right direction. I want you to lead me, O wonderful Savior, my great shepherd. I want you to lead me in paths of righteousness. And as you do that, you'll discover that he will keep you from falling into any problems that come along the way. And I want you to notice in the middle of this game, the water boy has arrived. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your sensitivity. And do you mind if I just take one swallow? Thank you. And for those who are listening by way of the tape, this is water that I'm drinking. Thank you. Oh, that's so refreshing. Say, speaking of what, when God refreshes his people, sometimes God refreshes his people through other people. That's just what happened here. Living illustration. Thank you. I want you to see something else. Number five, when God refreshes his people, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, gives us a renewed sense of security. A renewed sense of security. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There's that fear problem that I said, that sheep need to have a sense of peace before they can lie down. And here's what the psalmist says, I will fear no evil, even though I'm going through a tough time. In fact, you know the previous part of that verse says, yea, though I walk through the, what? Valley of the shadow of death. For you and I who are believers, you don't have to worry about death. Now, the shadow of death may pass over you. There was a great preacher in the States whose wife died. He still had precious children with him, and they were driving home from the cemetery. And the children were weeping, and they were so broken, and properly so, because their mother had died. And as they were driving along, this great big truck came right by them. It was a sunny day. It was a sunny day. And this truck came right by them and cast a shadow across their car as they were driving. And it helped this pastor to say to his dear children, all of them as a family now bereaved, you saw that shadow that just passed by us? That was the shadow of the truck. But it wasn't the truck that hit us. It was the shadow that hit us. And this verse, he says, it's just the shadow of death that we faced. And so we don't have to fear evil, because Jesus died on the cross to take care of death for us. He died for us that we might have life eternal. And yea, though, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. That's what it says here. So we have a renewed sense of security. Do you have that sense? All is well. One of our dear brothers who knows that he is is getting close to the end because of the ravages of the disease that's upon him, and who was seated right here with his sister a week ago. But he told me as I visited with them in their home, I have no fear. I have no fear about the future because I'm safe in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Another thing I'd like you to see is this. We have then a renewed provision. You prepare a table before me. That's what it says in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, what is this table? In the book that Philip Keller writes about Psalm 23, he suggests that it's referring to the high tablelands where the shepherd would take his sheep up there to find some the grasses of the summer. And that's maybe what it is, but it certainly, when I was a kid, and I still think of it, thou preparest, I see a table with food on it. And thou preparest a table before me, that says, in the presence of mine enemies, and I think about, oh, the dog wants to eat what's on there, but no, that's for me. And the Lord provides for us here, and what we discover here is this, a sense of renewed provision. The Lord will provide your needs. What does the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 4:19? My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My, what wonderful provision he gives. Another thing I'd like you to see is number 7. Jesus, our shepherd, gives us a renewed health. It says, you anoint my head with oil. And as we mentioned a moment ago, the shepherd would use oil as a healing agent. If there be a scratch or some wound, or if there be this matter of pests bothering, the shepherd uses oil to bring about the healing process. And that's what the Lord does to us. Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit, sometimes pictured as the oil, who ministers to us, sent by God the Father and God the Son, who lives within us, is a healing agent who brings to us the health that God wants his believers to have as we walk close to him. A renewed health. You anoint my head with oil. Another thing I'd like you to see is a renewed joy. A renewed joy. My cup runs over. That's speaking of just bubbling over with the blessing of the Lord. Have you ever felt like you were just so full of God's blessing and just spilling over every place? Now that's good. Somebody said, Mr. Saucer doesn't get blessed until Mr. Cup overflows. And as you overflow, it's just going to affect everybody else around you because you become a blessing to others. May God help you to minister out of the overflow of what God's doing in your life to your family. For instance, I hope this summer all of the homes, all of the families that are represented here will have this wonderful sense of the overflowing blessing of one another to one another, husbands towards wives, wives towards husbands, parents towards children, children towards parents, overflowing with the blessing and the joy of the Lord. God wants that to be true in all of our lives, a renewed joy. And this summer, I hope also you will see this, that Jesus, our shepherd, can give us a renewed journey. As you look at that last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. That word mercy in the Hebrew is a very precious word. It translated in different ways, sometimes loving kindness and mercy. Another good word for it is just plain old love. It's the kind of the equivalent of the New Testament word in the Greek agape love, that overflowing love that's given, and it's not seeking to get, but it's seeking to give. It's an act of the will to bless somebody else. And that's what this word is. Hesed is the Hebrew word, which just means God's overflowing love to you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Somebody suggested that, and when I was over in Israel, and I saw it also in Turkey, when I was there a year ago, shepherds with their flocks. And often there would also be a sheep dog, or maybe a couple of dogs, to help to keep the flock together. And you can just see this flock moving as the shepherd is leading. And by the way, shepherds over there don't drive their sheep and say, get going that way. They get out in front of the sheep and lead them. That's why we sang, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. But there are a couple of dogs, I watched this, behind, just making sure that the sheep all are really leading, following the shepherd. And somebody suggested that Jesus has, as our good shepherd, has a couple of sheepdogs called goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And this is a wonderful journey. You're on a journey. And may it be a renewed journey as you sense God's love, His mercy, His goodness surrounding you, just keeping you in the flock. And one other thing I'd like you to see here. Jesus, our shepherd, gives us a renewed hope. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Oh, what a hope. And often we forget that. In the heat of the day, we forget that we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But let that hope just fill your heart and your life. I want you to see this picture here. How many of you have ever seen that picture before? But many of you haven't. My parents hung this picture in my bedroom when I was a little kid. And my parents taught me that I was the lost sheep. You see that sheep down there? I'd gotten away from the flock. I'd fallen over the cliff. But Jesus is the good shepherd who came at great expense and gave his life for the sheep, and he came to me, and he came to rescue me. And but you see that big vulture there that liked to make a meal out of that sheep? My parents taught me that that pictured Satan, who wants to wreck and ruin my life and just mess me all up. And that's how I learned the gospel, from that picture. And I'm so glad that I said yes to the Lord Jesus. Please rescue me. I want to be saved. And the Lord did that for me. Let me show you this next picture here. I took this picture in Scotland when I was ministering there. You see those sheep there in the field up close, but you see the mountains behind. Northern Scotland is a beautiful place, and there are a lot of shepherds there who take care of sheep. And I heard this interesting story about a traveling evangelist who would walk miles and miles from one community to another in Scotland. And one time he was to share the gospel, and one time he was walking through this field, and here was this shepherd boy all alone with his sheep. And he sat down on the grass beside him, and they chatted together. And then he introduced the gospel to him using Psalm 23. The Lord, he talked about the Lord who'd made everything, this beautiful creation, and who'd made this little boy himself, and who'd made the sheep and everything, and that all of us like sheep, and this little boy knew what it was to lose a sheep, And he said, the preacher said, and we too are lost. We've wandered away from God, but the Lord wants us to come back to him. And so he said, would you just hold out your little hand? And you got five fingers. The Lord is my shepherd. And he talked about the Lord. There's only one Lord. The Lord who created all and who is the Redeemer and who loves you, wants to save you. The Lord is, not just was, but right now he wants to be your Savior and he wants to be your Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. And he talked about shepherd, the shepherd who takes care of his sheep. And just like you're taking care of those sheep, the Lord Jesus wants to take care of you. Well, the little boy opened his heart to Christ. And before the man went on his way, he said, now, little guy, when you have any problems, just think about this. The Lord is my shepherd, and especially this one, my shepherd. Just take your other hand and grab that. My shepherd. And the little boy said, thank you. The man went on his way. A winter passed, another spring came, and this traveling evangelist happened to be walking through that general area. But it was getting close to nightfall, and over there, no hotels. Where do you stay? The common practice is to knock on somebody's door, and they would host you, give you a meal for the evening and place to sleep, and then you can go on your way. And so he knocked on this particular door, and a dear farm couple, husband and wife, invited him in. He had supper with them, and before bedtime, he noted the sadness that was in their faces. And he said, I note that maybe, is there some reason why you feel sad? They said, well, yes. He said, this last winter, our little son went out to the barn, and a great blizzard took place, and he never came back. And we did not find his body until spring thaw. And they said, but the strangest thing, we've never been able to understand it. We found his body, and he was holding his fourth finger like this. Well, then this man realized these were the parents of that little boy that he led to the Lord. And he explained to them the gospel. And they too opened their hearts to Jesus Christ with the wonderful assurance that that little boy is in glory because he'd received Jesus as his personal Savior. Well, I want you to see this in summary again. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd, as we've said, the past, the present, and the future. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. And Psalm 22, 23, and 24, if we had time to study all of those, you'd discover that Psalm 22 especially focuses on Jesus, the prophet, who came to be the message by dying on the cross. Psalm 23 talks about Jesus, who right now is our shepherd. And Psalm 24 talks about him returning as our king. Make a study of those three psalms and see Jesus in that light. But aren't you glad that you can say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd. Stay close to him this summer, and may you be refreshed. God bless you. Father, as we now sing together and go on our way, we want to do so with a wonderful sense of the refreshing that only the Lord Jesus can give to us. And for any who have not yet received this Savior, it is my prayer that even today, they would open their heart to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.